Okay, tonight, here we are, December 9th, p.m., and we're looking at another event or two in the life, in the day of Paul. And so let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. And we're going to look at 9 and 11. Mostly just reading tonight, nothing spectacular on my part. Not that it ever has been, but we're going to look at Israel. Look at the Jews tonight. They're in the news, and they're always in the news, but let's just see what Paul has to directly say about these Jews and what's going on here. Chapter 9 of Romans. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. Do you ever have anybody say to you, you know, they'll tell you the truth? Or I'll be honest with you. Kind of thing. So here's what Paul says. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Okay? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Maybe that's one of the biggest differences between us and Paul. I don't think I could say that. Just don't think. I know I can't say that. And he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. I wouldn't do that for anybody, sorry. For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God, and the promises. Now, right there is a good difference between the Gentiles and the Jews. All that stuff he lists there, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, that was meant to them. And we also know from, we'll get to that in a minute, but 11:22, these are the bunch of which the severity of God fell on, not the Gentiles. And that the preachers keep preaching about the severity of God unto the Gentiles now by using Jewish verses. Anyway, verse 5. Now, you got to listen to this very closely to get this part right here. Talking again about the Israelites. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So, this is who we're talking about, the Israelites. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now here he explains that. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Parentheses. Always note the parentheses. It's a good punctuation to note here. I'm going to put the screen down here. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is said unto her, on parentheses, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? So this all sounds like this is, the question, the next obvious question would be, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And he's just getting ready to explain here that God is going to show mercy to the Gentiles. He has compassion for the Gentiles. And he's choosing to have that compassion. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So he's got a purpose for going to the Gentiles, which we'll see in 11, is the mercy he's going to give to them, which shows the power of God. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. That will say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now how can that take place today? How can God make, see the scriptures, we don't know that. 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory. Now he's telling us that he has such a power as God, he has such power that he cannot slap down on the unrighteous the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. He's waiting. We know back in Romans chapter 2, he says he's not putting any judgment down right now. They're storing it up for the white throne judgment. But that's how powerful God is. I think sometimes we say ourselves that, boy, if I was God, I'd have to do such and such. Yeah, well, he's so powerful. He doesn't do what he wants to do, knows he needs to do, and that's hammered down the severity on people. That's the kind of power he has. The Jews got the severity, and the Gentiles are getting the goodness of God. So he says again, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, he endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to, he's putting up with this lost world. That's powerful. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. That is a powerful God that can take what he has given to the Jews and put up with their shenanigans and go to the Gentiles. As he saith also in Asi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now this also can go back to what Abraham. There was a time those people were not his people, but then he declared them to be his people. 27, Esaias also cries concerning Israel. For the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. That's a lot of children. A remnant shall be saved. That's a lot of people not being saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth hath left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, Sodoma, and made like unto Gomorrah. Now remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And so they were made like that. Now, if I can find this thing, I'm not sure I got that written down anywhere. Ezekiel. Oh, where does it talk about my sister? In Ezekiel. Here, let's see if we can find this thing here for a minute here. You know, they were had idle time. I looked that up earlier. This is my sister's. This is not because it's Ezekiel 16. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. There's a description of Sodom and Gomorrah. So it says here in Romans, we had been as Sodoma and as made like unto Gomorrah. Same thing. There's the list. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, remember Gentiles had a conscience, Romans chapter 2, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. See, Romans chapter 4 tells us about imputation. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, and how can this be? Well, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay, there's a chapter that's a lot of depth to it, a lot of explanation. But we're seeing the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. Like it says in verse 30, you know, the Gentiles which didn't follow after righteousness attained righteousness by faith. The Jews sought righteousness by their works, which we know that. Then he goes down to verse 10, and he talks about, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Then he goes on in this chapter and explains this righteousness stuff. But we're looking for the days of life, the life of Paul, not so much the doctrine. So let's jump over to 11. So Paul is still talking about, well, we should probably go to 10. Let's go to 10, 18. But I say, have they not heard? Now let's go up to 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's Paul's gospel we're talking about. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's an answer for you. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by foolish nation I will anger you. Who are we talking about there? But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found with them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. See the difference there? Gentiles. I was found with them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Gentiles didn't want that. But Israel, he said, which are his people, all day long I've stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. Chapter 11. Now, just to make sure that people don't misunderstand, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? No, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, here's what he prayed, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then there is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And this is the verse that these people go to that say that actually trusting in the Savior is actually a work. There's no grace. You're still believing and still making an action. Crazy. Parentheses. According to the scripture, according as it is written, 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According to as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. That's quite a thing. There's the difference between your election and everybody else. And we're not talking about Gentiles, we're talking about Jews. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. By the way, there's my verse for a snare drum. And what do they call a snare drum set? Called a trap set. And it makes and it causes people to stumble with their music. 10. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say that had they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now remember, we're living in a day where the goodness of God is hardly spoken of anywhere. So it's hard for them to be jealous these days because there's nothing going on to make them jealous. Is it works or is it what Christ has done for us that they need to be jealous about? These Jews have great works, but they don't know what Christ has done for them if they were to put their faith in him, would have not killed him as their Messiah. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, where are we at here? I think I went way too far. Here we go. We're back on 10. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back all the way. Okay. 12. Now if the fall of them, here we go. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, because they're doing their own thing, and they're the riches of this world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, which is why we're not getting the riches physically, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. There's his reasons for being who he is. He raised up his office, not himself. He wants to get these folks to want what it was that he had. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou boastest not the root, but the root thee. Who's boasting who here? Then wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted. This is where we have to remember we're talking about the nation of Israel, not an individual Christian. Because this is where these guys go, try to make you feel, fear your salvation. Well, he says here, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. See? If you put this on an individual Christian, you lose your belief, you quit, then you're done. No. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee. Well, who's he talking about? We're talking about a nation, the Gentile nations, and the Jewish nation. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, Jews, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou shalt also shall be cut off. So you can see here where if a preacher puts it on the individual, that if you don't continue in God's goodness, you'll be cut off. You'll lose your salvation. God won't spare you. And this is about a nation. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall thee, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, here we go. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, which again is back to verse 22. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. Then you get into these churches that they preach and teach all this covenant theology, all this covenant stuff. You make a covenant with God, but don't break it, because God will, it's crazy. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Well, see if you make... I skipped a verse here. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. So they try to get us Gentiles to be applicable to these covenants. It's crazy. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Now think about this a lot. But it's touching election. Yeah, well, sure, they are the blood for the Father's sake. Those are his people. But for what we have to talk about with Paul and the risen Savior and the Messiah, man, they're our enemies. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For, to explain this, for as in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy? For God has included on them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. What's he saying here? Well, we need to have our mercy towards the Jews. Because of them, we have God's mercy. Well, because of us and what we have, mercy in return. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Because what we just read is not something man would come up with. Remember, he said he would withhold his wrath to show his power. Because it takes the power of God not to come down here and do what he has to do. 34. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and that should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Then he goes up to chapter 12. He tells the Gentiles, okay, now, because of these mercies of God that he's given to us, man, at least you could do, which is your reasonable service, is to give your body, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and be not transformed, conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which gets our feet to change their direction. So again, on the day of the life of Paul here, we see him talking about the Jews, the Israelites. He is explaining the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And if that doesn't help people understand why it's Paul only, why the counsel of God is from Paul, then they don't realize it, but they're being taught Jewish teachings. This is why these preachers preach a severity of God. They're not going to the Gentile doctrines, which are from Paul, the goodness of God. So those two chapters really explain what Israel's status is today. And you read them real slowly. And just remember, you're talking about a nation, a Gentile nation, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, not individuals. And you'll see that Paul does a fantastic job of explaining what's going on, even today. It all just makes sense with what they're doing. They're getting their riches now, and they think they're doing the right thing. Are they jealous of us? Why should they be? They're having a great time. Well, they're blinded. But there is a remnant. There will be a remnant. Just like I believe the King James Bible, right, the dividing Paul people are a remnant. They're just what's left of any kind of Christianity at all, to where it's so bad that this is the only Christianity that does exist these days. If he's coming back at the end of when Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, then it's just about kaputzed.